Today is the 12th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you as we pass through the center of another one of our weeks together. Hump day? I guess hump day, are we in the dog days of summer? I've heard that term all my life. I don't even know what that means. I think it means when it's so hot that the dogs just lay around. And I guess we're getting there. But either way, we take the next step forward and we get to experience all of the different seasons. The seasons on the earth, the seasons of life. And we get to do it together in community as we gather and keep taking our steps forward in this relationship that we have with the scriptures. And so, that's what we've gathered around the global campfire for. Let's dive in. We'll be returning to where we left off, which is the custom. That leads us back into the book of First Chronicles. And today we will read chapter 12, verse 19 through 14, verse 17. Some of the Manassites also joined David when he came with the Philistines for the battle against Saul. But he didn't help them, because after considering the matter, the Philistine rulers sent him away. "He'll rejoin his master Saul," they said, "and it will cost us our heads." When he went to Ziklag, some joined him from Manasseh: Adnah, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Ziletai, leaders of units of 1,000 in Manasseh. They helped David against the raiding bands because they were all warriors and officers in the army. Reinforcements came to David daily until there was an army as mighty as God's army. These are the numbers of the commanders of those armed for battle who came to David in Hebron to make sure he took over Saul's kingdom, according to the Lord's word. From Judah, carrying shield and spear, 6,800 troops armed for battle. From Simeon, mighty warriors, 7,100. From Levi, 4,600. Also Jehoiada, leader of Aaron's line, and with him, 3,700. And Zadok, a young man, a mighty warrior, and 22 officers from his household. From Benjamin, Saul's relatives, 3,000, most of whom had been loyal to Saul's household. From Ephraim, 20,800, mighty warriors, famous in their households. From half the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, designated by name to come and make David king. From Issachar, those who understood the times and what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. From Zebulun, 50,000 experienced troops armed for battle with all the weapons of war to help with undivided loyalty. From Naphtali, 1,000 officers as well as 37,000 armed with shield and spear. From Dan, 28,600 armed for battle. From Asher, 40,000 experienced troops armed for battle. From the other side of the Jordan, the Reubenites, Gadites, and the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, 120,000 armed with all the weapons of war. All these men of war, armed for battle, came to Hebron determined to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were fully agreed to make David king. They were there with David for 3 days, eating and drinking, while their relatives provided food for them. Even their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali were bringing food by donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There was an abundance of flour, fig cakes, clusters of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep, because Israel was joyful. After consulting with the captains of the units of 1,000 and 100, in fact, with every leader, David said to the entire Israelite assembly, "If you approve, And if the Lord our God agrees, let's spread the word to the rest of our relatives in all the regions of Israel, including the priests and Levites in their cities with pasture lands. Let's ask them to join us, so that we may bring the chest of our God back to us, because we didn't look for it in Saul's days. The whole assembly agreed to do so, because all the people thought it was the right thing to do. So David assembled all Israel, from the border of Egypt to Lebo Hamath, in order to bring up God's chest from Kiriath Jearim. Then David and all Israel went up toward Baala, to Kiriath Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the chest of God, the Lord, who sits enthroned on the winged creatures, where he is called by name. They moved God's chest on a new cart from Amminadab's house. Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart, while David and all Israel celebrated in God's presence with all their strength, accompanied by songs, zithers, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to Kidon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out to the chest and grabbed it because the oxen had stumbled. But the Lord became angry with Uzzah and struck him because he had placed his hand on the chest. He died right there before God. David was angry that the Lord lashed out at Uzzah, and so that place is still called Perez Uzzah today. David was frightened by God that day. "How will I ever bring God's chest home to me?" he asked. So David didn't take the chest away with him to David's city. Instead, he had it put in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. God's chest stayed with Obed-Edom's household for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's household and all that he had. Tyre's King Hiram sent messengers to David with cedar logs, bricklayers, and carpenters to build David a palace. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingship was held in great honor for the sake of his people Israel. David married more secondary wives in Jerusalem, and fathered more sons and daughters. The names of his children in Jerusalem were as follows: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpelet, Noga, Nifeg, Japhia, Elishama, Bealida, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they marched up to find him. David heard this and went out to confront them. The Philistines had invaded and were plundering the Rephaim Valley. David asked God for advice. "Should I attack the Philistines, and will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered, "Attack them, and I'll definitely hand them over to you." So they marched up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. "By my strength," David exclaimed, "God has burst out against my enemies the way water bursts out." That's why the place is called Baal Perazim. The Philistines left their divine images behind, and David ordered them burned. When the Philistines plundered the valley a second time, David again asked God's advice, but God answered, "Don't attack them directly. Circle around behind them and come at them from in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then attack, for God has attacked in front of you to defeat the Philistine army." David followed God's orders exactly, and they defeated the Philistine army from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. David's fame spread throughout all the lands, and the Lord made all the nations fear him. Okay, so now that we have come to the New Testament portion of our day today, we are entering some brand new territory. We concluded the book of Acts yesterday, and we concluded the book of Acts, actually really the last half of the book of Acts, getting to know this person named Saul, who then met Jesus and became the Apostle Paul. So he was a former persecutor of the way of Jesus. He met Jesus, and then he became the Apostle Paul, an advocate for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're turning away from the narrative story of Paul's journeys and the things that were happening around the early church, and moving into the letters of Paul, the things that he wrote and sent and that have been preserved. And our first stop is the book of Romans. Most biblical scholars agree that Romans is the most comprehensive work or writing of the Apostle Paul, and that we arrive at a lot of our theological understanding of what the good news of Jesus is in this letter. Romans was probably written from the city of Corinth. This is a place that Paul spent a lot of time and did some of his most impactful missionary work. And it was probably penned somewhere in the mid-50s AD. And dating these scriptures enters into all kinds of controversies, because there's all kinds of biblical scholarly debates over dating different things. But what we do know about the writings of the Apostle Paul, and this is an interesting thing, they are the oldest writings that we have in the New Testament. So Paul's letters are some of the earliest Christian writings that are still in existence, predating, for example, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These letters are older than those Gospels. So when Paul finished this letter to the Romans, he sent a deaconess. Her name was Phoebe, and she was from the church in Kenchrea, which was just outside of Corinth. And she was sent to hand deliver the letter and make an introduction to Paul. The church in Rome wasn't planted by Paul. I mean, we remember the story. Paul had wanted to go to Rome, and he does end up going to Rome, but he goes to Rome as a prisoner. And we don't actually know who brought the gospel of Jesus to Rome. The speculation, like a likely scenario, is that somebody or a group of somebodies who had been influenced by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and were familiar with the teachings of Jesus carried the gospel back to Rome, and the church was established. And Paul really wanted to go there. We know that from the book of Acts. He's a naturally born Roman citizen, looking forward to visiting the capital city of the empire that he is a citizen of. But he had other business before he could go to Rome, and he obeyed the Holy Spirit, went to Jerusalem, where it looked like everything was going to get upended, because he was arrested and mobbed and assassination attempts and plots. But he then became under the guard of the Roman military and was able to continue his missionary efforts, speaking to more powerful people than he would have ever been able to get a meeting with. And then he appealed to Caesar, and eventually we got to Rome. And everywhere that Paul went, he got in trouble, right? There's all this kind of antagonism toward him, and that was because of what he was teaching. This gospel that he was teaching was that the Messiah of the Jews had come, and they should recognize that. But because he had come through Jesus, God was welcoming all who believed into the family of God, Jew and Gentile alike. And this was a massive shift in the way that people understood things, especially the Jews. This was a massive shift to their traditions. And one of the reasons Paul was constantly in a riot somewhere or fleeing for his life, it's in Romans that Paul fully explains how he got there. Like how it is that he went from this devout Pharisee persecuting people who followed Jesus to a Christ follower willing to die for Jesus. And he wrote this letter in a way that a Jewish person would fully understand the arguments connecting Jesus to the Hebrew story that had been taking place all the way going back to the book of Genesis and the patriarch Abraham. And Paul explained, and this got him in all kinds of trouble, that the Mosaic Law and its purpose were different than the way that it was being used for. That its purpose was to reveal our human inability to arrive at perfection. Nobody can become righteous before God on their own because they're that good. Except for Jesus. And through him, we can all be made righteous before God. This is the compelling message of the good news of Jesus. Not everybody was on board, and many were very antagonistic toward it, as remains true until today. But in Romans, Paul will explain to us how it is that this devout Pharisee could make such a transition to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, with that, let's begin. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 17 today. From Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for God's good news. God promised this good news about his son ahead of time through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. His son was descended from David. He was publicly identified as God's son with power through his resurrection from the dead, which was based on the spirit of holiness. This son is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, we have received God's grace and our appointment to be apostles. This was to bring all Gentiles to faithful obedience for his name's sake. You who are called by Jesus Christ are also included among these Gentiles. To those in Rome who are dearly loved by God and called to be God's people, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news about your faithfulness is being spread throughout the whole world. I serve God in my spirit by preaching the good news about God's Son, and God is my witness that I continually mention you in all my prayers. I'm always asking that somehow, by God's will, I might succeed in visiting you at last. I really want to see you, to pass along some spiritual gift to you, so that you can be strengthened. What I mean is that we can mutually encourage each other while I am with you. We can be encouraged by the faithfulness we find in each other, both your faithfulness and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I planned to visit you many times, although I have been prevented from coming until now. I want to harvest some fruit among you, just as I have done among other Gentiles. I have a responsibility both to Greeks and to those who don't speak Greek, both to the wise and to the foolish. That's why I'm ready to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's own power for salvation to all who have faith in God, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. God's righteousness is being revealed in the gospel, from faithfulness for faith, as it is written, "The righteous person will live by faith." Psalm 9, 13 through 20. Have mercy on me, Lord. Just look how I suffer because of those who hate me. But you are the one who brings me back from the very gates of death, so I can declare all your praises, so I can rejoice in your salvation in the gates of daughter Zion. The nations have fallen into the hole they themselves made. Their feet are caught in the very net they themselves hid. The Lord is famous for the justice he has done. It's his own doing that the wicked are trapped. Selah. Let the wicked go straight to the grave. The same for every nation that forgets God. Because the poor won't be forgotten forever, the hope of those who suffer won't be lost for all time. Get up, Lord. Don't let people prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Strike them with fear, Lord. Let the nations know they are only human. Selah. Proverbs 19, 4 and 5. Riches increase one's friends, but the poor lose their friends. A false witness won't go unpunished, and a liar won't escape. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you, Lord. And now, as we move into some new territory with a new complexion to it, as we move into these writings from the Apostle Paul and the other writings in the New Testament, we invite your Holy Spirit that our hearts may be open to what you are saying through your word, and that we might grow and understand and go to new depths of understanding about the good news of the gospel, about its impact in the world, about the way that it changes us, and about the ways in which we are to go forward because of it. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base. It's where you can find out what's going on around here. And the app does that as well. And you can download the app for free from the app store that works with your device, your phone or tablet. So check that out. Check out the community section. This is where to get connected. There are different links to different social media channels that we participate in and groups that we host. It is also the home of the prayer wall, which is always available to us. We can always pray for each other. We can always ask for prayer there in the prayer wall, and that's in the community section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly for your partnership. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if we weren't here together. And so thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. Happy long walk day. It's the seventh day of the seventh month. It's me, Sebastian. I'm calling in to pray that you, God, bless our community. I pray that you bless all of us, the struggle in life. I believe that is all of us. But I do pray that you help us in our individual tasks and challenges, no matter how powerful they are, no matter how dangerous they are, no matter how boring or just hard and unyielding those challenges are. I pray, God, that you lead us through each and every one of them. I pray that you help us overcome. I pray that you give us to treasure you and to love you above everything else. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for leading us on the narrow path. I thank you, God, that you help us, each and every one of us, with our requests, with our prayers, Thank you for your help. Love you all. Bye, Sebastian.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. I know there's a couple of people, more than a couple, that have prayed for deliverance from alcoholism, and I need that prayer too. I would just call myself Lynn for now. I'm dealing with a lot, and I would really appreciate you helping me with prayer and drinking, because it's leading me into some bad territory, and I've made some mistakes, and I'm feeling regret and shame and guilt, and I just need your prayers, because I'm trying to soothe my worries and fears and sadness with alcohol, and I'm feeling regret today for some things I've done. And I just would really appreciate that prayer, and help me to just release some of the things that I'm worrying and caring about to God, because this is what makes me start drinking. And I just pray for me, please. And I'll be praying for those that have prayed for the same thing. And all.
Hey, this is Jerry calling from Duluth, Minnesota. I'm outside of Solvay Hospice House, ready to go in and say goodbye to my mom. And just wanted you to know that a long walk a couple days ago, when we knew that she just had hours or days to live, was so incredibly meaningful. As I walked through Enger Park in Duluth, which is just an incredible park, I appreciate your prayers and thank you for your prayers. I called in February when she got the news that she was going to die and not live. And it's 22 below, and asked prayers. We were heading to Florida to get her there, and she had the time of her life, and she says, what a way to go. And then back at the nursing home for the last few months, and I asked her yesterday morning, you ready to go to heaven today, Mom? Oh, yes, I hope so. It'll be the best day of my life. I had the opportunity to do the funeral, as I did my dad and grandmother's, and just pray that God would be glorified, that those that are there would be drawn to Him, looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Kristen Christ and me. I would like to pray for a young lady named Kayla. She attempted suicide, and she was abused by a boyfriend, and she's now homeless. He destroyed her stuff, and she's just asking for prayers that she would be able to find a place to stay, and that she could get her life together, get a job. And I prayed with her, just reminded her to trust in the Lord and to call upon Him. So if you could just pray for Kayla, thank you.